Welcome to New York Zen Center for Contemplative Care's podcast. This free podcast is made possible through your generosity. Please consider making a donation through our Ways to Give link on zencare.org.
Rumi says, "Come, come, whoever you are. Wanderer, worshiper, lover of leaving. It doesn't matter. Ours is not a caravan of despair. Come, even if you've broken your vows 1,000 times. Come yet again. Just returning from the most extraordinary gathering of broken people, healers from Asia, from South America, Europe, Canada, all over the United States, at this symposium, contemplative care symposium on palliative end of life care. 200 of us banded together for, felt like a love train. And many of the speakers were talking about how through our brokenness, through our broken vows, is actually how we can actually be more in relationship. To me, it's about how to find the spaces where we actually are just together. It's easy, in particular on this evening, to think about division, as it is just in general. Easy to think about sides and division. And yet, how can we gather together and learn how to trust ourselves and trust each other? So there's a koan from the Book of Serenity. I've been giving some talks on slowly making my way through. Visiting old friends, these koans I spent years and years studying, expressing. And this koan I love so much. It's case number 10. It's called The Old Woman Near Taizan. Taizan, of course, is also the name of Maizumi Roshi, his Dharma name. Taizan Maizumi. So the koan is a story. It says, there was an old woman on the way to Taizan. Whenever a monk asked her how to get to Taizan, she would answer the same. Go straight on. After the monk had gone a few steps, she would say, this good, naive fellow goes off that way. Later, one of these monks told Joshu about this. And Joshu said, wait a bit, and I'll go see her and see through her for you. He went and asked the same question, what's the way to Mount Taizan? And she said, go straight on. The next day, Joshua was giving a talk, and he said, I've seen through the old woman for you. So there's no need to explain that.
Not at all.
So Mount Taizan is an actual mountain in the Shandong province of China, where Zhou lived. And the tallest peak of it, of this mountain, is called the Jade Emperor. It's about, the peak is around over 5,000 feet high. And it's known as one of the eastern mountains of the five great mountains of China. And it's associated for at least 50,000 years with qualities of birth and renewal. So wonderful to, for 50,000 years, when we think of our lives, our important lives, this mountain for 50,000 years has been associated with birth and renewal. Thought to be like one of the most important mountains there. Has a special mojo, maybe. So at the foot of this mountain is this old woman. And these old women show up in these stories, in Zen stories, all the time. These anonymous old women. And part of me always feels a little heartbroken that they're anonymous. Part of the kind of misogynistic aspect of our tradition. That we should just be embarrassed about. And then another part of me feels like it's delightful that it's just some old woman. Could be anybody. Any old woman knows better than these smart monks. So it's fun to think about both sides of that. I tend to think of them like my teacher. She's kind of like one of those old women. Just turning 88 this week. And it's thought to be actually Maizumi Roshi, Taizan Maizumi Roshi, used to say, you know, that he would leave beginning instruction of meditation to only his senior students and Dharma successors. Just beginning instruction. Because he thought it was the most important thing, just how to sit. These monks wondering at Taizan, at the mountain, asking, where is it? Being on 23rd Street and say, where is 23rd Street? Or being in your mind and saying, where is my mind? Zhoshu, the other character in the story, lived in the 700s and was a Zen teacher famous for his paradoxical statements. He became ordained as a child, and at age 18, he met his teacher, Nan Kuan, and became his successor. And his kind of awakening came when his teacher asked him, what is the way? What is it? What's the way? What is your way? And is it about your way or the way? I know for myself, I can get really caught up in my way. What's my way? What's the way for me? What's going to happen to me? And to me, the most joyful is when I'm in the way. He traveled for many years teaching Joshu, and then at 80, he decided to settle down. And it's said that at 80, he taught for 40 more years. That's when he began teaching. And he had a little group of monks with him. It's so wonderful to think about, just wandering around, practicing until you're 80. And then saying, like, oh, maybe I have something to offer at 80. Imagine that. He's most famous, of course, for his first koan in most Zen schools is, a monk asks Joshu, does a dog have Buddha nature or not? And Joshu replied, moo. This drives many Zen students out of their mind. Very similar to this koan with the old woman. What is the way to Taizong? And she says, go straight on. And then they walk off. And she's like, they missed it. And what are they missing? It seems direct. Go straight on. Okay, I'll go straight on. What is this straight on? What is it just to be here? What is it to actually be where you are? Without pushing people away, without isolating yourself, but actually being in relationship. To me, this is what the beauty of Zazen. Some of you saw the play that went on Saturday night. And one of the characters talks about the confusion. Between anonymity and intimacy. Or we could say participating in the world. Or kind of contracting. Both actually are not healthy all the time. A friend of mine, a yoga teacher, talks about like people are always like want to do openings, could do openings, could do openings. And she's like, you can't live like that. You also have to, you know, you have to do both. But many of us live in much more contracted places. Where we don't actually allow ourselves to participate where we are, as we are. In the play, extraordinary measures. It's just this constant barrage of these visitors to this man who's dying, with people throwing their shit on top of him. No one really seeing him. And I feel like we're doing that all the time. It was so funny in the play because it's so tragic in our lives. Not actually having a relationship, but like having a relationship with ourselves and then just like putting that between us. But not really saying, oh, how are you, Barbara Becker? So amazing how rarely we actually stop to look at someone's face. What would have happened if one of these monks actually just said, I'm feeling confused about where I am. Or where is Taizong? And hearing her say, go straight home. And really staying with her. What would it mean? In our practice, we're practicing coming back again and again and not being swept away by our thoughts, by our opinions, by our reactivity, our defensiveness. Endless barrage of Mishugana. Of our craziness, for those who do. Needed a little translation. So what did Joshu see when he saw through this woman? What does it mean to see through her? The wound, Rumi says, is the place where the light enters you. That line that inspired Leonard, dear Leonard Cohen. To write his song. How do we enter our place of distractedness, our busyness, my wayness, to just, without any shame or blame, but just like, there I go again. I was completely not here. And to me, that's like the joyful news. But so many of us are so busy saying like, I wasn't here, and I'm so bad because I wasn't here. But we're not trying to feel better here. We want to just experience ourselves more so that we can experience each other more, so that we can serve this world more. And not build more walls. But to learn how to love each other. So that we can just be straight on, be direct and intimate.